Let's give the Lord a good hand clap. He's so worthy. I love you, my God. Hallelujah! Oh, we love you, we love you, we love you. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory! We love you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You are so precious, and God, you are so mighty. Amen. It's very, very kind of the Lord and good of the Lord. And it's just the way of the Lord for Him to come and be with us this morning when our bodies are tired and our minds are full. And our bellies are slow, praise God. But here He is, and He's here to help us, and He's here to do good things for us. And we thank God for it. I'd like for you, if you would, to turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter number 46. While you're turning there, I want to say thank you to Pastor Young, Bishop Wilson, and this church for hosting this meeting, and for all of the unbelievable work and effort that goes into it. And this is a mighty effort on the part of this church and so many that have so given themselves. And please do not think that it is taken for granted, because it is not. It is not taken for granted. So we appreciate being here and all the fellowship, the hospitality, and the great things that we are hearing. Please forgive me for this, but I forgot that I had these with me, and I only have, I think, three of them left. But for ministers, those ministers that would be interested that use PowerPoint, the book, What a Difference a Line Can Make, has been obviously extremely condensed and put into a PowerPoint format that is flexible. You can go into it and make changes according to your situation. So if you'd like to get that, it's only $2,500. But for you today, they're 24, praise the Lord. So such a deal I make for you. Well, how many love the Lord? Isn't He a great God? He is so precious. He is so precious. I'm going to read to you, first of all, from the 46th chapter of the book of Psalms. Verse 4 states, there is a river. How many are glad there is a river? And it goes on, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. This river shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. And then we're going to read about it again in the book of Revelation, chapter number 22. Revelation, chapter number 22, beginning at verse number 1. And He showed me a pure river. A pure river of water of life, which we heard about last night. Pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the middle of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And I know this is a truth, as well as being a spiritual metaphor, probably literal. But even in its literacy, literal being, it is nevertheless still metaphoric. Amen. The tree needs the water in order to produce the leaves, in order to heal the nations. And thank God for the river that's here. I want to see that river. I want to see it with my eyes. Albeit, I do believe I have experienced that river. I believe to varying degrees we are experiencing that river this morning. And we have been in this conference. And you did in your services in your own church Wednesday or Sunday. And I believe that I didn't come here prepared to talk about this river, but I'm going to. I feel like this is where the Lord would like to take us. So could we pray together? And let's ask the Holy Ghost to help us and challenge us today. Lord Jesus, we're very, very mindful of you. We ask God that your hand, your good hand, that the flow of your Spirit, your river, God, would minister in this house and to our hearts and souls. Do the work that only you are able to do, Jesus. We commit this service, our words, our thoughts, completely, Jesus, into your hands. Help us and mold us and make us and lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, praise the Lord. And God bless you so much. You may be seated. Thank God. Now, we have made the statement, you've heard it. Some things can be taught, but there are some things that if you get them at all, they have to be caught. You have to catch them. I wish I could tell you that I have, for this service, I hate being in this predicament, that I have an end product in mind, and most of the time I do. But I certainly don't today. But I know the Holy Ghost does. One thing I'm not worried about is that whatever happens, point made or not, Brother Wilson's coming after me, so it's going to be fine. Praise God. And good or bad, you're going to forget about this in a little while anyway, so we just press on. But I want to talk to us about something this morning, and in large part, I want to talk to us, and when I make this statement, please don't yawn in the Holy Ghost. Don't get bored with me before we get started. But I want to talk to us about the love of God. I want to talk to us about the love of God. I cannot help what the denominational world or the secular world has done with the word love, let alone the love of God. But regardless of what they've done with that subject or the subject of mercy or grace, amen, or righteousness or anything else, what they do with it is their business. What we do with it is extremely important. And so don't turn me off. Don't yawn, because the love of God is still the strongest, most powerful, most irresistible force in the world today. And thank God it's here. And thank God it's here. Thank God that it is here. I'd like to cut to the chase in that when we read in Psalms and the book of Revelation about this river, and there's other places that we can, and we'll go to some of them, that deal with this particular river, and I do believe they are exactly one in the same, that this river is a view of the love of God. It is the love of God. And every other attribute that God is and God possesses and God reveals and God ministers with, amen, is found in this river. It's found in the love of God. Amen. Now, the main job, our main job, is to stay in the river and to get other people in the river. That's the main thing, is for us to remain in the river once placed there and to get other people in the river with us, that they can enjoy this crystal clear water that is so precious and is so very, very beautiful. The fact that it is the love of God, I think, personally, is pretty self-evident scripturally. We know in 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. God is love. Now, it is stated about a river that you never, ever, ever, ever see the same river twice in your lifetime, even if you just glance away and look right back. Because a river is constantly changing, because it is continually on the move, in that regard, it is never the same. Now, we know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he is fathomless. And I believe that when we have been there 10,000 times, 10,000 years, in a place where years don't even count, he will still just be revealing a little part here and a little part there. And we'll still be an ongoing exploration of this God who is inexhaustible in the revelation of what he is. Amen. They tell us that our universe is expanding even as we speak. That it is expanding faster than the speed of light. And that there is no end to it. And it's, however that endless thing is, it's still getting bigger. And that's just pocket change with God. And my Bible tells me in the book of Psalms that this whole thing, he's going to roll it up like a scroll. In the book of Revelation, and it also tells us in the book of Psalms that he's going to change universes like a man changes a coat. He's just going to put on another one. One of these days, we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. And that's the God that's making all this. And so in that sense, while he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we just see glimpses of him. And to be allowed to be in that river, to be in God, and God is love, and he is continually flowing, is the most highest, great, gracious honor ever bestowed on a human being. Don't take it lightly. Do not take it lightly. Now, I have made this statement before, and so for those of you that have heard that again, I pray clemency. I hope you don't get bored with me. But there is a verse that a few years ago, it's been almost 10 now, but this verse, more than any other verse of Scripture, has impacted me. And affected me continually. And it is in John 15. And in verse 9, he says, as the Father hath loved me. Now, I'm going to stop right there with that first statement. Just go to the comment. If you can turn your eyes off, try and turn it off. But let's stop there. Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me. Now, you got to get this picture. In fact, my friend, turn that off for just a second. How deep is that love? How powerful is that love? I mean, that right there off. Thank you. Here is a God who is a spirit that cannot bleed, that cannot die, that tempteth no man, neither indeed can be tempted. And this God so loved, he so loved the world that he did not send an emissary. There was not another to his right or to his left. There is but one God. And this God, not by committee, this God, he himself overshadowed a virgin by the name of Mary. And through the auspices of her womb, this God, amen, said, you stand back, angels, and watch. Because through the body that was created in her womb, in which he came to live in, And in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And this God that could not die, who is invisible and bleed and be tempted, he robed himself in human flesh. And inside that body, he could now, through that body, taste death for every man. And this body could be in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. And this God could now shed blood, amen, for the likes of you and I. And Jesus, amen, in whom this God dwelt, 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And John 12:44, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. Verse 45, he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. So you have divinity wrapped up in humanity, and you have spirit robed in flesh. And when you stop and consider that Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me. Now, how deep is that love? How profound, how beyond anything that we can begin to scratch the surface of understanding in our finite imagination. Amen. But he said, as the Father hath loved me, that's how much I love you. Amen. So this business of feeling sorry for yourself and not knowing God, I don't know if God loves me or not. Forget that. That's a lie of the devil that really works with flesh. Amen. Friend, he loves you. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. It's an unbelievable, profound love. Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so love I thee. Now that's a river, brother. And it's crystal clear. And aren't you glad it flowed your way? And aren't you glad you got off the bank? And aren't you glad you dived in the water? Oh, God. Aren't you glad you were baptized into that name? Aren't you glad that Spirit came to live inside of you? Aren't you glad you know who He is and what He is and what He's done and what He's going to do? And that this God lets us be in the river? It's mind-boggling. As the Father hath loved me, so love I thee. Amen. Then he said, you can go back, my dear brother, continue ye in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. You say, this sounds conditional. His love is not conditional. What is conditional is, are we going to stay in the river or not? The love's going to flow. The river's going to be there whether we get in or not. Whether we stay in or not. That's not the question. The question is, are we going to stay in the river? That's the thing. He can love you when you're on the bank, but that doesn't mean you're in the river. Hallelujah. Amen. The NIV says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Remain in that river, if you please. Taylor says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Live within my love. When you obey me, you're living in my love, just as I obey my Father and live in His love. This is, some people, to them, it's tacky. They say, you're legalist. If staying in the river is a legalist, I'm guilty. I like the water. It's the best thing going. Who wants to leave for the dry, parched banks? I've been out there. There's nothing out there I want. I know what it's like out there. I was thirsty. I was hungry. I needed the river. And by the mercies of God, He put me in the river. I don't want to go nowhere. I want to stay here. All I want to do is get into it deeper. All I want to do is get more of it in me and me in it. All I want to do is get more people off the bank. Come on in, brother. The water's fine. It don't get no better than this. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. This is why in the book of Jude, verse 21, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. What do you do when you pray in the Holy Ghost? Amen. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. When you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're just getting more of the river in. You get more of the river in. The reason we have to spend some time with God is that this material in which we are encased, this treasure is in very earthen vessels. And you have to soak in Him for it to saturate you. Because humanity is not of such a nature that, you know, it warreth against the Spirit, and the Spirit wars against the flesh. And so you've got to take time for it to seep into the pores. If you don't believe that, pardon the expression, but you hear an off-color or dirty joke, how easy is it to remember? And try to memorize a verse of Scripture. Because the nature of this beast is it lends itself to things. Amen. But when it comes to the spiritual things, this is why we got to take time. This is why taking time in prayer is so important. This is why getting alone with Him is so important. This is why sitting there and just diving into your Bible. I don't care if it's one verse or 20 chapters. You dive into it and you swim around in those waters because you got to get this thing in you and you get in it. I mean, stay in this till you're wrinkled up, baby, but stay in this. Hallelujah. And it really does get better and better. And the more you're in the river, the more odd and strange and in a sense we don't fit. It's like, oh, get me back to the river. Get me back to the river. And then even when we go on, hopefully, much needed vacations, you're after 3 or 4 days and it's fine, it's cool. You're not cussing, screaming, swearing. You're just, okay. But after a while, there's just something. You're longing for something. I'll tell you what it is. Ooh, the river's beckoning. And he's saying, come on, monk. I mean, yes, you're still in it, but it's time for a swim. Time to take a dive. That's the reason you come back to church and, ha, 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 oh, it feels good. It feels good to be here. It feels great to be here. Hallelujah. I don't know. I don't understand. Can I tell you something? Between now and glory, I've got a home in this world. You want to know where it is? The altar is my home. The altar is my home. Because that's the most concentrated, saturated point of the river. And if I can be there and I can bring somebody with me, my God, take somebody down to the river. Get them down in the middle of the river. Let them feel the river. Let them taste the river. Let the glory of the river fill them. A river of living waters. It's the greatest thing in the world. I can't understand sitting on the back row staring at your watch. Can't wait to get a hamburger when the river's flowing. The riches and the glory. That's the reason. I'm going to tell you. My opinion, the altar time is the single most important part of any service. And I've been introduced and introduced to others with phraseology such as, we've now come to the most important part of this service. And that's true to that point. But it's not the most important part of that service. Up to that point it is. If there's a spotlight spiritually on the speaker, it's only there momentarily, because if they're into the Holy Ghost, the river's talking. The river's beckoning. And then when the speaker's finished, all spotlights are turned on every single heart that's there. And the Holy Ghost is now saying, what does this mean to you? What are you going to do with this? Are you going to stop and say, but, you know, I go to the altar. I cannot tell you the next day what was preached last night. big deal. That's not really all that important. I'll tell you what is important is how you responded to what you heard, because if you don't remember, God does remember. God not only remembers every word that was preached, but He was every bit as interested. You hear me now? With what was coming out here, His chief concern is what it's doing to you. And you, and you, and you, and you. That's where, because He wants to know, is my word finding place in you? How's it affecting you? Are you more interested in writing your notes or trimming your nails than what you're hearing? Because if you'll hear and let these sayings sink down into your ears, I can change you. The river can flow through you. You'll never be the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I'm going to tell you, He's in the changing business. He's in the changing business. It may be from degree to degree, but we are ever changing into the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. I don't want to be the same I am today as I am next year. I want to be changed. I want to be changed. I want to be changed. I've got to respond to the river. And here's where we change. Victories are won. Powerful, unbelievable things are accomplished. People walk in off these streets with loads that some of us have been so far removed from and protected from, thankfully, that we can't even imagine the gross darkness that they are in and lost in. And when a tiny peephole of light, just a little bit of hope, can start coming across their path, and you don't really think that God could help the likes of me. I read something one time about, and I'm just telling you the story, when William Booth died. William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army. And you need to read the history of it, because it's not like what it is today. And I'm not saying, I'm not against Salvation Army, what the good they do. It's like AA, I'm glad for the good they do, you know. But there's better. So, but he was, it was a strong holiness movement. And he brought a ray of light and hope, such as it was, to the darkest dredges in the corners where only the rats dwelt in dark London. And London is very dark. And in those days, unbelievably so. And when he died, the whole city went into mourning, because they realized they had lost something very precious. So dark, but so profound was this man, that the Queen of England, amen, she came and stood on the street corner, the Queen of England, to do homage to the passing bier of William Booth, the Queen of England, Queen Victoria, longest reigning monarch in England's history. She was at the apogee of British might and power, and she came and stood on the streets, and next to her was a mascara-laden harlot whose mascara was dripping down her face and off her cheeks. And with her Cockney accent, she looked at the Queen and said, "He cared for the likes of us." He cared for the likes of us. Who cares for the likes of us? If anybody cares, it ought to be the people of the river. It's crystal clear. It's so pure. It's so sweet. You don't got to worry. Come on in, harlot! You're not going to pollute the waters. It'll clean you up, baby. It'll help you. It'll change you. You ain't never tasted anything like this! the goodness and the glory and the mercy and the grandeur of the word of the Lord, the grace of the Lord, the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah to the river! Our job is to stay in the river and to get others in it. Now, the river is a river. It's not a tiny stream. It's not a little creek. It's not a little... It's a river. It's a river. Now, and I'm going to be kind, but you can make it a tiny little creek if you want. You can get it so narrowed in your mind that anything beyond your perimeters ain't God. But I'm telling you, this baby's a river. And it flows and it's big and it's powerful. And you may be able to dam the Colorado River. But honey, you can't dam this thing, not for long. It'll come around you. It'll go over the top. It'll wash you out. But it's going to flow. It's going to flow. It'll make another tributary bigger than yours just to say, I'm moving on. Enjoy your puddle. Hallelujah. But it's a river. It's a river. And fish in rivers don't all swim one right after another. They're out there in the waters. And one will flip up over here and pop up over there. They ooze around because it's the river. Hallelujah. The job is to stay in the river. We don't have to all be in the same spot in the river, but we've got to stay in the river. I lived on the coast for 12 and a half years. And, you know, there's strange things happened down in deep waters. Marine biologists, they can't figure it out to this day. Every now and then I will read about this. Maybe there'll be a school of whales. Seemingly no rhyme, no reason. They beach themselves. They weren't made for the beach, which they find out real quick. But they'll beach themselves. There'll be five, there'll be six. Sometimes there'll be a dozen or more. One time where we lived there in Arroyo, I think it was shad, if I'm not mistaken. They beached themselves literally by the millions. By the millions. Just one day, these fish came. It was a good high tide, and these fish came, and they didn't leave. They stayed, and they were darting out of the water, and they covered Oceano, but mainly Pismo Beach, and they were there. And the ecologist, their deal was, for whatever reason, it's a done deal, and we don't want to tamper with ecology, so don't touch them. For whatever reason, they're there, so we let them rot. Well, the problem is, the wind blows off that ocean. And there's, you know, I remember going down there, and as far as the eye could see, was these fish. I mean, they covered it. And they weren't going out there with steam shovels, scoops, nothing. And they rotted away. And you'd go out after church, and and our church house was like 2 miles as the crow flies from the beach, and it was. Now, what would get into those fish? They were not born for the beach; they were born for the waters. Until the last second that they made their exit, they were in the waters. They were alive and they were well, but they were headed in the wrong direction. And they hit the beaches. I don't understand. I don't pretend to understand why anybody would want to leave the river. And this isn't the main theme of what I want to talk about. I'm not sure what the main theme is, but I know this ain't the main part of it. Is I don't understand schools of thought or schools of fish that are getting as close as they can to the banks of this thing. I can't fathom that. You say, well, are they in the river or not? Well, they're still in the river, but I'm worried. Why do they want to be so close to the banks? And we have to beware. You know, it makes you wonder if there was a key whale or a key shad or a key something somewhere that got the bright idea. We're going to the bank and we're going to be free. And another caught it, and then another, and then another, and then another. The next thing you know, there's dozens, and then there's hundreds, and then there's thousands. And so they all make for the shore. And when they're flip-flopping around and gasping for, not air, because they got lots of that, but whatever they were, they're foam or something. You can tell, the river, they're gasping for the river. And you're watching them flip and flop and exhale and then begin to putrefy and swell and stink. You want to walk down the shore and say, well, pick him up and say, why didn't you stay in the river? What did you want out here? Why did you think it was so cool out here? The greatest thing you ever had was in the river. You can't let any fish, big or small, it doesn't matter the cool phraseology or the glib tongue or the witticisms, take us out of the river. I'm going to tell you something. There needs to be something inside that says, God, this is the greatest, most beautiful thing ever happened to me in my life. All I know is in His mercy I found an altar. All I know is I was allowed to repent. All I know is I was baptized in water in Jesus' name. All I know is He filled me with the Holy Ghost. All I know is He gave me a good book and He said, come on, I want you to stay in the river. I want you to stay in the river. This commandment is exceedingly broad. Hallelujah. You can swim in these waters. They're beautiful. They're powerful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to take a flip out of the water and say, whoopee, you can splash and go back down to the bottom. But honey, you don't get out of the river. You don't go washing up on the shore of this world. Thank God for the river. Now I'm going to tell you how beautiful this river is. And I hope you can catch this. I don't know that I caught it, but the other night I was on the platform and the Holy Ghost was moving. And it was just for a moment. And these things can't be explained. We do the best we can, and those that have had somewhat like moments, epiphanies, can relate. But I was standing probably a week, 10 days ago on the platform and the Holy Ghost was moving. And it was just for a moment. Just for a moment. But in that brief moment, it was like a window was opened and an understanding came in about this unbelievable love of God. And I cannot tell you what it did to me. It was just a moment, but encapsulated in that one brief moment of time, I just caught something. And from that moment, everywhere from the platform to the pew, to the balcony, to the walls, to those that were running, to those that were weeping, to those with hands up, to those like this. In one brief moment, all I could see was the pure, unadulterated love of Almighty God. Like I'd never seen it before. It's the best I can do. The scripture does better. But it is mind-boggling. He says, as the Father hath loved me, so I love you. Remain in my love. Build up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because verse 20, you keep yourself in the love of God. I want you to notice something in Jude verse 18. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. They're not interested in the river. They're interested in walking after their own ungodly lusts. And verse 19, these be they who separate themselves. They separate themselves. They get out of the river. Why? Because they're sensual, not having the Spirit. The river's not in them anymore or something. And there they go. But notice, please listen. They separated themselves. This river's so pure, he didn't do it. All I'm asking you, stay in the river and get others in the river. If there's any separating done, you're the one that's going to do it, not me. See, I don't know if I believe that. Well, John 6:37. All, everybody say all, that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Did he say it or not? Now we know that he whosoever asketh receiveth, and he that knocketh it shall be opened. He that seeketh shall find. This is, and I'm not playing Greek word games, but there is such a thing as Greek, hallelujah. And these are progressive tense words. It's the best that the King Jamesers could do in showing that it's not just an ask. It's a continual asking. It's a continual knocking. It's a continual seeking. It's asketh, seeketh, knocketh. It's not a one-time deal. I'm here asking. And I'm knocking. And I'm seeking. And you're not a reprobate judge that doesn't fear God or man. You're my Savior. You're my Heavenly Father. And if a reprobate judge can help a little old widow lady, how much more shall my Heavenly Father help me? Because I'm asking. And I'm seeking. And I'm knocking! It's continual! I'm in the river! I'm not going anywhere! I'm staying in the river! And I'm going to get what I want because I'm in the river! We have what we ask of Him because we keep His commandments. We're in the river. Why would you want to get out of the river? So He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Same tense. It's not just, I came on time 5 years ago. Where are you at? No. He that cometh. I'm coming. I'm keeping on coming. I came to the altar last night. And you know what, God? I'm coming today. And I'm going to be there Sunday. Sunday morning, I'll be there Sunday night. Because he that cometh, he that keeps on coming to me. You say, I got more problems than a runover dog. You don't know my past. You don't know my history. You don't know what my mama did. You don't know what my daddy did. You don't know how I've been hurt. All I know is this. If you keep on coming, if you keep on coming, if you keep on coming, he'll never cast you away. He'll never throw you away. He'll never get rid of you. All you got to do is stay in the river and everything's going to be all right, brother. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. It ain't going to happen. Hallelujah. NIV says, all the Father gives me, so come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Verse 39, this is the will of Him that sent me, that I shall lose none of all that He has given me. Taylor said, but some will come to me, but some will come to me, those the Father has given me, and I will never, never reject them. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one. If you leave the river, you left. He didn't cast you out. If you just keep coming, you're going to be all right. I've sat down and talked with people. And they want an answer. And I said, what I'm about to say, you are going to interpret as, take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning. But this is not, take 2 aspirin. I'm giving you the answer to your problem. Are you ready? Yes. Keep coming.
Keep coming. Keep coming to church. I don't care what kind of mud you got to slog through. Honey, you be here when the church doors open. Because in every service, and this is just my personal opinion, but I think the Holy Ghost will bear witness. I don't care what your problem. I don't care what your situation. If you've got ears to hear and you come to the house of God, somewhere in that message, God's got a word for you. God's got a word for you. You keep listening, honey. You're going to hear something's going to be quickened. That's mine. That was mine. That was mine. He took time to talk to me. Why? Because I'm in the river and I'm staying in the river. And as long as I'm in the river, He's going to keep on working on me. He's going to keep on making me. He's going to keep on changing me. He'll never cast me out of the river. We know Jude 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. And the tailor says, stay always within the boundaries where God's love can reach and bless you. You got to just stay in the boundaries where God's love can reach and bless you. What's the boundaries? It's the river, brother. Where are you going? I'm going to the river. Will we have another rainstorm? No. I'm going to the rock church, man. I'm going to the river. What's the river? It's where God's Spirit flows. It's where the cleansing takes place. It's crystal clear. It's sweet. It's precious. If you ain't swum in these waters, you ain't swum yet. You need to get out into the waters. And there's all kinds of fish in the river. There's all kinds. There's tall fish. There's short fish. There's fish on Weight Watchers. Till I got here. There's all kinds of fish. Because God makes us. And He puts us in the waters. And He's here to help us and cleanse us. Hallelujah. So how good is this God? Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who has the power to get you out of the river? Amen. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sore? Nah, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I'm going to tell you about this river. I'm persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor power nor things present and things to come nor height nor depth or nothing else ever created can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Honey, I'm in the river. I'm in the river. I'm in the river! And in the river He's going to talk to me. Now, some people have gotten out of the flow. King Saul left the river. Balaam left the river. If Lot didn't completely leave the river, he sure got dry. Samson left the river at least for a while. David left the river. But those that are wise and those that are sharp, like the prodigal son, woke up one day in the pig pen and said, the servants in my father's house in the river are better off than me. I'm going back to the river. Hallelujah. We're not going to allow anything to get us out of the river. What happens in the river when you've come to this city of the living God where the river flows? When you come to this heavenly Jerusalem, when you come to this innumerable company of angels, what happens to you when you come to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, which is written in heaven? What happens when you come to the Judge of all? What happens when you come to the place where the spirits of justified men are in the process of being made perfect? It all happens in the river. Thank God for the river. You get spankings in the river. Hallelujah. This is why it says in Hebrews 12:11-13, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, note, lift up
the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Verse 13, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Why do we come and receive reproof, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine? Why do we come to the river? And we say, who's that? That little boy says, Mama, who's that guy that gets up there and yells at us 2 or 3 times a week? That's the guy whose job is to help us keep in the river and teach us and mold us. Because if you're not careful, you'll get something lame in your spirit and it will lead you out of the way. It'll take you up the banks. You'll get away from the flowing grace and the goodness of God. Rather, let that lameness be healed. Hallelujah. You come to the river and you hear something preached. You hear something taught. There's a word for you. Or the pastor comes and he says, hey, I've got to talk to you. I've had a burden for you. I'm concerned about you. He said, well, are you picking on me? Oh, no. No, I'm fearful that there might be a lameness that's going to take you up the banks and you're going to flip around and flop until you give your last gasp. Let's just stay in the river. Don't let some lameness take you out of the way. There's nothing more precious than the river. There's nothing more powerful than the river. And I'm about to close. I think I know where I'm headed. The Bible says in Ezekiel, it speaks of a river that issued out under the east gate. In the book of Revelation, it issues out under the throne. Hallelujah. Same place. Just there's a gate in between there and the throne, if you please. And it's issuing out. And something about that river, you can be in it up to your ankles, or you can be in it up to your knees, or you can keep on hanging in there and be up to your loins. If you hang in, it'll be to your chest. If you hang in there, baby, it'll be so deep and so broad and so wide, you can't swim through it. Hallelujah. And to the new converts, let me say, you're just getting started. The greatest, most exciting thing in your world is the river you're in. It gets better. It gets deeper. It gets richer. It's more powerful. It's more lovely. I remember when I came to God, the only verse I knew was John 3:16, and I couldn't find it. There was too many Johns there. Some of them didn't even go to 3. And I start reading my Bible. And I thought, I'm going to have to read the whole thing. This is a boy that one time, once from my 9th grade to my senior year, one time I took homework home. And I didn't do it that night. And I had a D- average. And I graduated with 1.5 credit to my good. I was in the top 99% of my class. And now I got this book. This guidebook to the river. And the riches of his glory. And the love letters. And the awesomeness. Things I didn't know, couldn't even understand, fathom, still don't. But all I know is, man, that's beautiful. But I'm going to have to read this whole thing. And I remember one day skirting through Ezekiel. And it said the angel came with a scroll and said, eat it. And I said, oh, God. If I could, I could probably eat this in an hour. But it's going to take me a long time to digest it this slow way. And I remember, I get my Bible. You can say, Larry Booker signed my Bible. Hallelujah. But it's okay. I gargled this morning. It'd be all right. But the river, the riches of his glory, the power of his might. Brothers, hey, new convert, dive into this baby. Dive in. Take notes when your pastor preaches. Listen to every word. Dive into the river. It gets sweeter and sweeter and better and richer and more beautiful. You hear me? It's the greatest thing that God ever did in your world. Let's all stand. Musicians, come. And the Bible tells us that whithersoever the waters went, it healed. It healed. It healed. Get this river to your neighbor. Get this river to your family members. Somehow get to let them feel the waters. When you come into the house, they gotta feel the river. I'm glad for this conference. I'm glad for the brothers and the sisters, the men and women of God. I'm glad for people that love the river, that showed me the river, that taught me about the river, that have helped keep me in the river. I'm glad for teachers and preachers, pastors, evangelists, apostles and prophets, that through listening to them, it became richer and deeper and more beautiful and more awesome. And I love the rivers more today than I've ever loved it in my life. Let's lift our hands. Let's talk to him just a moment. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Come on, friend. Thank you, Lord, for the waters. Let's pray. Won't you lay your hand on the shoulder of a brother? Shoulder of a sister. Thank God for them. Pray for them. Pray God will take us deeper into the river. It'll be richer and sweeter and clearer. Jesus.
Spirit, set me free. Oh, living water.
Come on, let the Holy Ghost begin to flow. Living water.
Living water. Flow in me. Holy Spirit. Set me free. Oh, living water.
Come on, Holy Ghost, fall in this house.
Living water, let it fall on me. Living water, flow in me. Holy Spirit, set me free. Holy,
come on right now. Why don't you turn and minister to somebody? Come on, the river's here.
Living water. Living water, flow. Living water, flow in me. Holy Spirit, set me free. Holy water.
Holy Ghost Radio. We are Acts 2:38 Salvation Message compliant. Are you?
That the Acts 2:38 message is the basic message of Christianity. If you don't believe that, I want to be nice to you, but I want you to tell me why you don't believe it. We don't have to explain to you why we believe it. You've got to explain to us why you don't believe it, because that's the man with the key.
Holy Ghost Radio. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?
And I'm not just trying to hype you up, but I want to tell you, this is one message that's not going down. It doesn't matter if it's pre-modern, modern, or post-modern. This message is hot. It's cutting edge. It's on the level. It's always going to be powerful. You can never outlive its power.
Visit our website at www.holyghostradio.com.
And if you want to be relevant, then preach Acts 2:38. Because that's the message that's relevant to every generation.